Well, welcome along to West Kent Today. My guest this morning for this first hour is Stephanie Rose from Friends Together Bereavement Support Group. And we're going to be looking at bereavement, why we need support, and where you can get help. So good morning, Steph.
Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Husky, as you can hear. I've had a brimming cough for the last week or so. Right, bereavement. Now, it takes many different forms. We're not talking about, you know, being made redundant or anything like that. We're talking about losing a loved one. It could be a spouse, could be a child, could be parents. And it affects people in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Every bereavement is different, but bereavement affects every one of us in our lifetime. You know, for some people, unfortunately, it comes to them sooner than they expect. And for others, it's later on in life. But we all experience it, but we don't talk about it very much. So,
Is it a taboo subject?
I think it's becoming less so. I think more people are realizing that it is good to talk about things, that things shouldn't be swept under the carpet, otherwise they become worse potentially. I don't think it's taboo anymore, but I think there is still a thing in society that says, well it does happen to everyone, you know, why aren't you getting over it? Aren't your friends and family enough to help you get through this? And I think that is still a problem for some, you know, for some of us.
I've had occasions where people have said that friends cross the road rather than speak to them because they don't know how to cope.
I think people care, but sometimes they're worried about saying the wrong thing, potentially. Causing a scene, you know. Yes. So like, oh, they might make someone cry, and that is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And yes, someone might be slightly embarrassed by that, but again, like, tears are natural. Tears are, you know, how we show, and they can be very healing, actually, tears. So so it's almost actually maybe bereavement's not taboo, but the tears and the emotion and the fear of emotion, I think, can be what's difficult for some people. Yeah. We have that British stiff upper lip, don't we, still? Yeah, it still pervades.
And there is no set pattern to grief.
No.
I think C.S. Lewis, in his book, A Grief Observed, notice, I think it was 7 stages, but they don't all happen in the same order. So let's look at a couple of them, start with anger.
And I think actually this can kind of creep up on people a little bit, the anger of bereavement. I think when someone dies, you do expect the kind of the sorrow, you know, the tears and the sadness of it. But rage can and anger can really creep up on people, I think. So and it can spill out at different times, you know, little things that previously wouldn't have upset someone, like an everyday task or losing your keys, you know, or something. Actually, we were talking about this yesterday at one of the groups, just losing things and just finding yourself in a complete and utter pickle about it. And that can come out as, you know, the anger of it. But also you can be really angry at the person who died. You know, why did they die? Why did they leave me? Or like anger at the people around you. Like, well, you know, why haven't they called on me? Why haven't they asked how I am? So it can come out in very different ways, but it's normal and it's natural, and it's knowing that could happen.
And of course, death can happen suddenly, or it can be drawn out.
Oh, absolutely.
Due to illness.
Yeah.
And once somebody has died, if it's long drawn out, that relief can quickly turn to anger.
Yeah.
Saying, why didn't the drugs work or whatever?
Yes, absolutely. And we actually have quite a few members who have almost like this kind of regret or, you know, guilt about that process leading up to a partner dying, and should I have done more? Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe slightly different.
Moving on to guilt.
Yes, yeah. You know, should I have asked different questions? Should I, you know, have noticed this thing? You know, could I have realised that really they were worse than they seemed? You know, the kind of all of these questions that then keep coming back to. And I think for some people then it's kind of difficult to move on from those experiences.
And often sometimes to realise that perhaps the person who is ill and dying is actually hiding things because
yeah.
what they want to protect.
And yes.
And that provokes other emotions as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much that's kind of rolled up into this, you know, process of dying. You know, there's the actual event of, you know, they've finally gone, but the lead up and then the aftermath can actually be very, very tricky for people.
Because when somebody dies, suddenly there's a lot of action going on, trying to get death certificates, arranging funerals, things like that.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of admin.
And
yes.
then after that's over, there's this, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And that's when perhaps things hit harder.
Yeah, when kind of family might have felt that they've outstayed their welcome if they came and stayed for those first couple of weeks, came to help with the funeral, you know, think those things through. They have to go back to their normal lives. You know, friends feel like, okay, I've helped you through this difficult time. They go back to their normal lives, and then you're left with something that's very different from it was before. You know, even if, say, your spouse was in a care home, or, you know, they were in hospital and you were in the house on your own, you still had something. You know, lots of people still have that focus of, well, I'm going to visit them. I'm going to make sure that they're okay, that they've got everything that they need. There's still that part and element of life there. And then suddenly all of that is gone. And that can lead to lots of feelings of loneliness and social isolation. Sometimes it's a sense of just not knowing what their purpose in life anymore is. You know, it can be very, very difficult once all of the dust has settled on the admin side of things.
And the dust doesn't settle on the admin side, does it? Because there's all sorts of things like
probate.
Yeah. There's not joint bank accounts, sorting out insurance and pensions and things like that. And one of the more difficult things is, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly, is that you mentioned care homes. Often people are in care homes either because of physical disabilities or dementia.
Yeah.
And with dementia, some people are actually going through a second bereavement. They've lost their partner to the disease, and now they've lost the partner physically.
Yes, yeah. And, it can be... like, we're talking about all the emotions that can happen. And I think I've heard from our members, particularly with situations involving dementia, that, you know, that feeling of relief that comes along with the grief can be very confusing, actually. Well, I shouldn't feel this, but, you know, I'm glad their suffering's over, you know, but... as with other kind of long-term illnesses as well. But, that grief can then hit again in a second wave, but hit differently. as well.
We'll come back to this after we've heard from... You're listening to West Kent Today on West Kent Radio, 95.5, 106.7, 107.2 FM, online, on your smart speaker, and semaphore and Morse code are available for those who speak it. with me this morning is Stephanie Rose from Friends Together Bereavement Support Network, or group, association, whatever you want to call it. The details will be on our website a bit later on. So we've looked at bereavement affects everybody, and there's people die in all sorts of ways. We've been concentrating mainly on the death of somebody close. It may be through old age or maybe through illness. We're not going to ignore the fact that there are other deaths as well, but we're coming on to why do people need support?
Well, I think it's for a number of reasons, really. I think for some people, as we touched on before, it's that, the significant change in their life. So a person's there and then they're not. And for some people, that really leaves a huge hole in their life, particularly when you've been married for a long time. Some partnerships, they really do everything together. And that can leave people with that, just wondering what to do with themselves. So some people come to our groups for that reason. Others, it has been, a more traumatic death. A traumatic death is, it's, again, it can really range. What would be traumatic for one person isn't traumatic for another. And it really depends on the circumstances and the nature of the relationship. But, some of our members have experienced trauma through death. And just trying to work that through. Other people, it's just finding that camaraderie and being able to talk openly with people who will understand, that they've been through similar experiences, although no experience is the same. They've been through similar, and they can just find that, trendy word is tribe, isn't it? They find their tribe. they find that camaraderie, really, with others who have been through similar and who will really understand their circumstances.
It's more like a peer support group. Because some people think, I was offered counselling. I thought, being obstinate as I am, I thought, why do I need counselling? But I did need support. So if somebody comes to a Friends Together group, they're not going to have somebody up telling them what to do. So how does the groups work?
So the groups, most of them are tea, coffee, biscuits, cake, and a chat. And that's basically how they work and operate. A lot of our groups, our members have been with us for a long time. We never say you can only come for 6 months, a year. People can stay as long as they want. So some of our members have been with us for a long time. And actually, if you walked in and you didn't know it was bereavement support group, you might just think it was a normal coffee morning, actually. But having said that, when new members come in, and it's quite often that first week that they come where tears flow, they're telling their story. Everyone is incredibly supportive and willing to listen to what's happened, and then they're there kind of ongoing for, actually this is how I dealt with that situation, or I found that really tricky going into the bank and sorting those things out, or having to deal with a solicitor for probate, or actually you know, that first Christmas, that first birthday, all of those kind of things. So, yeah, to the outside, it might just look like kind of any other coffee morning, but those conversations around bereavement and what's happened to people and how they're coping kind of pop up every so often and continue for a long time after the, you know, they initially come and join.
Yeah, I think also the practical things they've offered advice to each other on is, well, where do I get rid of all these clothes?
Yes, and that's one of the things that can be incredibly tricky, and when's the right time to do that? And again, it's probably everyone's different and when it feels right for you. Some people like to do that sorting out and clearing out very early on, and others, you know, they leave things as they were, and they like to be reminded and have those kind of comforting items around them. So it's very different, but our members just share how it was for them and what helped them and maybe what didn't as well.
Now, what are the ratio of the people who come along? Is it mainly women or are men coming along as well?
Yes.
Excuse my coughing.
Primarily, our membership is women, but we do have actually, you know, in some of our groups, there are a nice little group of men that we have coming along. So our biggest group is in Tunbridge, and we probably have like 5 or 6 regular men attending that group. And in our other Tunbridge group, we've got a couple of men as well. So, and other groups do have some male attendees as well. But I would say primarily women, yeah.
Yes, I can see that women may chat to each other more than perhaps men do. As you talk about stiff upper lip before.
Yes.
And we mentioned tears. Is there laughter as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. There's laughter, you know, because we just chat about life and what goes on, and everyone has, you know, funny experiences that happen. Even if they are bereaved, you know, there's still lightness in life as well alongside the sorrow, and we can hold those two things together. We don't have to just be one. We don't just have to be sorrowful. We can be, you know, both of those things at once. And funny things about, you know, the person who's no longer with us as well, and sharing those stories and, finding the lighter side in things. Yeah, it's really important.
Is there opportunity in any of the groups to talk about the deeper things, like the problems they're having with solicitors or probate, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people do talk about those things, maybe more so in some of our groups than others. And I think it depends on those connections and those friendships. But, definitely those conversations happen about how things are going. You know, think about one of our members in particular. She's had an incredibly difficult probate with a parent, actually. And you know, every time we meet, we say, you know, how's things going? Are things resolved? How did this situation work itself out? And I think she's found that really, really helpful to actually just share that journey and not be alone in it.
Great. Well, we're going to come back and talk about where the groups and that meet and how they can contact you.
Yes.
After we've had our next break, and here's Simply Red. Update on the problem at the Duff Tunnel. It has been cleared. The broken down vehicle has been removed and traffic are now running smoothly through both tunnels. In Tunbridge, A26 Vale Road, there's queuing traffic in both directions at Sanderson Way. And this morning it was actually backed right up onto the Hadlow Road. A26 London Road, St John's Road, Tunbridge Wells. It's usual, it's slow. Hunt Road, Tunbridge, traffic turn, taking turns due to water main work on Hunt Road at Knight Road until 5 o'clock to... Is that, what's that today? Oh, it is. It's 5 o'clock tonight. That's good. Lower Headstone Lane, Tunbridge closed in both directions due to roadworks, and that's until the 15th of March. Station Road, Paddock Wood, again closed in both directions due to gas main work, and that's till the 25th of March. No problems on the trains, and that's West Kent Travel. You're listening to West Kent Today on West Kent Radio. With me is Steffi Rose from Friends Together Network, and it's bereavement support. There are a number of groups. Would you like to just run down where your different groups are meeting and when?
Yeah, so we have currently 8 locations for groups, which is amazing, really. So we have them in Hadlow, Paddockwood, Pembury. We've got 3 separate groups in Tunbridge. Tunbridge Wells, and hopefully coming soon we're going to start one in Rustall as well, so that's coming soon. So they all meet at different kind of times and days of the week and different frequencies throughout the month, but those are our locations where we have our groups at the moment.
And so there's a mixture of morning, afternoons, lunch times and evenings.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and some of them are just once a month and others meet every week, so yeah, it's a real mix.
And can you go from one group to another if you so need to do?
Yes. So, yeah, we have some of our members come to a couple of different groups, depending on, you know, what suits them and where their friends are, basically, where they've made friendships. So some people, when they first come along, maybe try a couple of different groups and just see which one works best for them. And they might decide to stay at both. So, and that's absolutely fine. Right.
And now a crucial question, which in these financially restricted days, what's the cost?
There is no cost. So we operate on a donations only basis, and our members are incredibly generous. But if you cannot afford to give anything, that is absolutely fine. You can still come along to our groups. So, yeah, it won't cost you anything if times are really hard.
So support in every way then.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Steph. All details will appear on our website later on today with a chance to listen again to the interview with Steph here. It'll probably be later this evening by the time I've extracted myself from the machinations of life. And we'll have a lovely picture of Steph go with it.
Oh, so brilliant.
Thank you very much for coming, Steph.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, John.
Okay, well, let's play What Is Love from Hadaway.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.